Dave and Darren in the morning. This is Planet 93.9, the Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio. It's a Thursday morning, and you know what that means. Mike Schultz is here to talk about the movies with us, and boy, he has seen quite a lot since the last time we had a chance to talk with him.
Yet again.
Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thank you. I saw five again, 3 weeks running. And that might be close to a record. That's a lot.
And you shared with me privately. Yeah. Hang on a second. Once again. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a man with a unique perspective on what's going on in the world of cinema. Our very own award-winning movie critic from the River City's Reader. Here he is. The talk of Tinseltown, Mike Schultz.
That's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We should talk like Walter Winchell the
Seriously,
whole time you're
right?
Here.
That would
One
be
of these
fun.
Days.
Okay.
So, Planet 93.9.
I did see where we didn't break the streak with basketball.
We did not break the streak with basketball.
Another there basketball movie, kind of,
well,
sort of.
Well,
at least a basketball scene.
There's a basketball scene.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Do you want to get started with the George Foreman movie?
Sure, why not? Because it was pretty decent. I was surprised. Yeah, I mean, again, kind of like with Sweetwater, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, the story itself kind of carries you through. It's, I mean, Big George, that's a tale to tell.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Right.
And that's kind of the movie's problem in many ways, is that there's so much to try to squeeze into 2 hours.
You have to gloss over everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so the most interesting part of it was the stuff I at least didn't know before, as far as like his upbringing and how he got his first shot and stuff. I mean, and him as a kid in Texas and then going into a jobs program to try to better himself. And that stuff was all pretty fascinating. And the rest of it is just kind of biopic standard. It's standard biopic stuff, but really involving and a really strong central performance by Chris Davis, who has to age like two decades or three, even maybe over the course of the film. He's really good. It was strong. I liked it.
I thought it was an interesting takeaway from your review that you thought maybe instead of a movie, they should have made this a series.
This one felt like a 6 hour story. You know, for sure. And, you know, and for me, a 6 hours for a limited series is perfect. I don't want it to be 10.
So how much time do they spend with the grill?
5 seconds.
Is that right?
Yeah. What is in the preview is all you get for the whole. I was so disappointed because I was like, I want to learn about the grill.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that would have been cool. But yes, this is the film in which Big George does play basketball with kids at his youth center for a little while. So we are 4 weeks in a row for basketball.
Tell us about Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah, it was terrific. It was really, really strong. I mean, that book is a classic, of course. The writer-director, Kelly Freeman Craig, is terrific. All the kids are great.
Why did it take so long for them to make this movie?
I really think the whole periods issue is like the thing. Of course, the book is all told from a first-person perspective, too.
Right.
So of course, the movie misses out on that. We don't have like narration throughout. We only hear her talking to God every once in a while. So we do miss out on a lot of that. What surprised me the most about it, though, is how much it veered from the book in terms of giving her mom like her whole subplot that is not in the book at all. Because we do know in the book that Margaret herself is the child of a Jewish father and a Protestant mother. And because of that, she hasn't seen her maternal grandparents like ever because they cut off their daughter for marrying a Jew. And so this movie actually gets into that. And in the book, Margaret knows that from the start and just kind of informs us of it. But in this one, Margaret like asks, why don't grandma and grandpa see us? And you've got Rachel McAdams playing her mom. And Rachel McAdams, of course, is the most lovely, heartbreaking actor in the world, you know? And so she has to kind of explain how her parents 12, 13 years ago said, get out of our lives forever.
Oh, wow.
And then the parents come back in the movie and they meet his mom. And so there's like all this great grown-up angst going on in this story about adolescence. And so I was like, well, thank you for thinking of those of us who are in our 50s who are like, I'm not sure how much I'm going to relate to the 12-year-old, but I can absolutely get it with Rachel McAdams and Benny Safdie and Kathy Bates. And so that stuff was fantastic. The kids' stuff is really good, but the adult stuff is great.
So that's the one out of all of them that you recommend seeing the most.
And nobody went.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. I was sad about that.
Maybe it'll find another life on streaming, huh?
We can always hope, indeed.
Polite Society.
Yeah.
What is this
movie? Did you see a preview for this ever?
It looks crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. It's like I wrote, I mean, it's kind of like, well, it's a British Pakistani girl who tries to break up her sister's wedding because the sister is an artiste, and the younger sister doesn't want her to enter an arranged marriage with a fellow Pakistani and stuff. But it is done as like this martial arts Quentin Tarantino James Bond slapstick comedy.
What?
I mean, it's absolutely insane. Huh. It's like Kill.
Is it still playing?
It's not playing locally. It's playing in Iowa City. Okay. It only stayed a week around here, not surprisingly. Yeah. But it was a mess of fun, really funny, really violent for a PG-13, especially. It was like those girls just kicked that crap out of each other. It was something else. But it's worth looking for when it finally hits streaming and stuff. It's a mess of fun.
What is Sisu?
Sisu is the Let's Kill Nazis for 90 Minutes movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's so bad. And I was all on board with 90 Minutes of Killing Nazis.
Sure.
Let's go for it. That sounds like great fun.
Make that a 6-part series.
Right. That's okay. But it is so, it's one of those be careful what you wish for things, because after about 10 minutes, it's like, okay, that's all it's going to be for 90 minutes. Yeah. And it's just increasingly gory. And so about halfway through, you're like, how much grosser can this possibly get? And it keeps getting grosser, but not any more entertaining. It's just like, yeah, that was worse. Okay.
I'll give you that. Yeah, it was worse.
I didn't need that. It's about a Finnish guy who's a gold prospector, and he gets stopped by the Nazis. Then they take his gold because they know the end of the war is coming. Uh-huh. But they've also got a truckload of a half dozen abused women that they're just kind of carrying around through Europe while they destroy towns and stuff. And so it's all relentlessly unpleasant.
Mm.
And just a drag. Ugh.
You know, we should have mentioned when we were talking about Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. You also saw a documentary about the author.
Oh, yeah.
Of that
yes,
book.
Absolutely.
A documentary called Judy Blume Forever.
Judy Blume Forever. It's on Prime Video. And it's basically, I mean, that's it. It's her mostly talking to the camera about her career of 55 years, I guess it is now. She's 85. She's gorgeous. She is a great conversationalist. And so it doesn't provide anything terribly surprising, but you do get, I mean, it touches on everything. You get Tales of Fourth Grade Nothing and Super Fudge and Wifey and Forever and Judy and Are You There, God? And gets a lot into the book banning issue that is now back, of course, after we thought that was gone. Because she and her husband now own a bookstore, like an independent bookstore in Florida. And so she has a lot to say about censorship.
Sure.
And it's also got Molly Ringwald is one of the people they interview, and Samantha Bee. And it's like, all right, cool. Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
Opening this weekend, the big movie is The Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah.
What's your take on, did you like the first
only the
one,
third
didn't you?
One, huh?
I did like the first one. Yeah.
The second one was weird.
The second one was weird. Is that the one with Kurt Russell?
Yeah, where he's like God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, didn't care for that. The first one was a nice little surprise.
It was
just lightweight and whatever, but it looks like it's going in the manner of, I mean, we'll see after I see it, but it looks like it's going in the manner of all recent Marvels where it's just so epic. It's so portentous. I mean, it's just so serious-minded. And
still reeling from the loss of Gamora, Peter Quill rallies his team to defend the universe and one of their own, a mission that could mean the end of the Guardians if they're not successful.
Oh, here we go.
Careful.
Yeah.
Now, they've all said that this is the last one that any of them are interested in doing.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that the Guardians will continue just with new Guardians, you know, just a different batch of heroes.
Well, that's kind of how it works in comic books, right?
You can call it the new Guardians.
There you go.
And you're set. And Zoe Saldana's back as Gamora, even though she died, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how that works.
Parallel universes,
There's
so many universes.
I haven't seen like the last 5 Marvel movies.
You're not missing out at all.
But I feel like if I were to try to watch this one, I wouldn't understand what's going on because I checked out.
I can't remember if they've shown up. I think they were all in the last Thor. I mean, Star-Lord for sure was in the last Thor. But I think the rest of them were all like background figures, maybe. I don't know. But I don't know if they've done anything else since then, except for the Avengers. But that's the thing with the Marvel characters is that they all show up in each other's movies. So there's never any excitement for me, at least, about, oh, there's a third Guardians. It's like, well, we see them every year.
Right.
Where's the excitement?
Right. You know,
they're always around.
Also so, opening a movie called Love Again for people that aren't interested in Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess.
Read the plot of this one.
A young woman tries to ease the pain of her fiancé's death by sending romantic texts to his old cell phone number and forms a connection with the man that the number has been reassigned to.
Yeah, there you go. With Celine Dion playing herself.
What?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Celine Dion playing herself.
Here's apparently what's going on that's not in that synopsis, is that the guy who gets the cell phone of the woman's dead boyfriend, husband, is a journalist who has to interview Celine Dion. And so when he starts getting all these texts from this random woman, he actually seeks the counsel of Celine Dion.
Celine, what should I do?
Yes.
I'm getting these weird
and
texts.
There's like a preview I saw where they're like sitting on the floor of her luxurious apartment drinking wine barefoot, and she's talking to him about love. And I was like, oh, this could be classic.
Oh, no.
This could be a blast.
Let me tell you about the grandpa that I married. I married a grandpa, and he is dead, and I wish I would get a text message from my dead grandpa husband that I love so much.
I can't wait.
Oh, wow.
That could just be something.
This is an English language remake of the 2016 German film SMS für dich.
Well, the Germans are known for their romantic...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Comedies.
Oh, no.
Right in their wheelhouse.
Celine Dion plays a fictionalized version of herself in her first ever film role.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's got everything going for it, doesn't it?
I think this might be something we need to see. I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I can't wait. Could be fun.
It's opening everywhere.
Yeah, it's big.
They're not afraid of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, I mean, it's perfect counter-programming, but I mean, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to think of that.
Oh, my gosh.
We're also getting, like, for two showings a day in Moline, a movie called What's Love Got to Do With It that has nothing to do with Tina Turner.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
I can tell you a little bit about What's Love Got to Do With It.
All right.
In London, an award-winning filmmaker documents her best friend's journey into an assisted marriage in line with his family's Pakistani heritage.
Wow.
In the process, she challenges her own attitude towards relationships. It sounds like you've already seen this movie.
Yeah, did they just retitle it a week later?
Is there ass kicking in this one too?
I don't know. I do know Emma Thompson's in it, Dave.
Well, that's all I need.
There you go.
God, I love her so much.
Yeah.
She doesn't return any of my texts.
Weird, right?
He is Mike Schultz. He is a movie critic and an editor at the River Cities Reader. Read his opinions on the movies, his critiques, his reviews, in the pages of the River Cities Reader and online at rcreader.com. Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mike.
See ya.